Hi, welcome to Soul Speak with Meg Michelson. As we start a new year, many of us have resolutions, visions, or words that help us shape how we want life to be different. In today's episode, we will look at how we are connected to self and how and when we turn away from self, so we can either stay in that stuck place or gain the strength we need to change our lives for the better. And welcome to 2025. Whether or not you're watching this in 2025 or 2027, it doesn't matter. It's always something pertinent to wherever you are, hopefully. But if you're here in 2025, the energy that we just started our year with is very different from last year. Last year, 2024, seemed so arduous for so many people, a lot of endings. This energy is different. And every year, of course, poses challenges. We just had the start of a different 18-month cycle. So we just left this Libra, Aries, different energy where it is. And I'm not an astrologer, so I'm not going to go into great depth. But that was learning how to be in we versus me. And that was really important for me as a recovering pleaser. This time, this 18-month cycle we're just starting is more of the Pisces Virgo. Virgo is stable. Virgo is the planner. Pisces is the dreamer. And how wonderfully well-timed and appropriate to learn the balance of that energy as we are starting a year, a new year, and hopefully looking at where we've been and how we are going to go into more of our dreams. Our dreams, that Pisces energy, also need the practical stability. So learning that balance, that dreamer with practical steps to get there. So at the beginning of every year, I choose a word for the year. And this time it was a little tougher for me. I had a word come in and I really fought with that one a little bit and then I surrendered to it because it felt right. Other years for me have been love or creativity, abundance. This year, I'm choosing the word me, M-E. And this has been interesting and causing me much pause because I get what that means. And it really came divinely inspired. It wasn't something that I just sat and thought about. I thought about after it came to me. And like I said, I get what that means, but I also struggle with what that means. Remember, I'm a recovering pleaser. And when someone wants something from me, my natural go-to is to make others happy. My natural go-to is to try to shift things around so that can work. It is such a quick response for me that I have really been working through that over the years because sometimes it causes hardship or causes more to-dos than were absolutely necessary. So I get the dysfunction in it, absolutely. But it can happen so quickly. Instead of me going to, wait a minute, what am I going to do? Is this going to work or not? Is this really going to be worth the effort? Or am I just in super pleaser mode? I really have had to grow and learn that. So any of you that are out there that are pleasers get what I mean. Is this actually the best way to do it? And will this be fair and just for both parties? You know, our mind is so fast and tricky. I've done a lot of work with this, but I'm still doing more work. We can so quickly catastrophize and not even realize we're doing that. That what else? Uh-oh, what's going to happen? Are they going to like me? And we don't even honestly recognize because that mind remembers so fast. Sometimes those thoughts come in so quickly that we're here and then all of a sudden we're at point A and we're at Z and we don't even know how we got there because the mind works that quickly. So we've got to learn to pause. We have to learn to just stop and think through, what does this really mean? Is this better for me? Is it better for our relationship? So we can become honest and intimate with those people we love, those people we work with, not just pleasing and then feeling that stress in the chest. Because, wait, how are we going to make that work? Why did I just say yes and I got back out of it? You know, for most of us, life tends to be very busy. I don't even know what it means to be bored. And I don't want to know what it means to be bored because I really do love life. We can want things or feelings we don't have, yet we are so much ingrained in what we are currently doing or what we currently have or how we currently live that we're not even able to move to the life we want. And of course, part of that is because change is overwhelming. Change is often scary. Because in order for our lives to change, we also need to change. In order for my life to become more of what I want, I have to really look at how I'm doing things. And that takes time. That takes mindfulness. That takes me stepping back from all the things that I enjoy or all the things that I put on my plate because it doesn't always work well. And so I chose the word, or it chose me, the word me. And I feel like it's so incredibly accurate. And now that I have the word, it doesn't mean it's all simple. It means that's what I'm going to be mindful of and shift this year. In your own life, how have you turned away from yourself? How can we notice and shift that so we can reconnect with ourselves in stronger and more permanent ways? And remember, the longer we stay in a situation, the easier it is to stay stuck. The harder it is to get out of that pattern, just like any other addiction. Being stuck can be a pattern that we can become addicted to. Being a pleaser can become a pattern that I could become addicted to, and I sure have. We get stuck, and we might feel irritated about where we are, and we want to move out of it. But we're like, oh my God, how am I going to do that without disappointing people? We can be irritated then in our day. And because we just keep going, our irritation loses the why. Why am I even irritated? I'm just now irritated. And then we might just shoot it anywhere. That irritation is not good for us. But we don't need to stay there. We don't. Because either we're putting it out at those around us with our irritation, or we are causing more internal damage with how we are being hard on ourselves. We just need to take the time to learn to do it a new way. You know, it's so easy to turn away from selves and not even know it. And I want to give you a personal example that I recently was struggling with. Remember, my word this year is me. And I had an issue recently where I really did not want to disappoint someone that I love. My schedule was so full, and I really like to keep my promises. I like to show those people that are important to me that they are important to me. I like to make time for people when I can, and especially when someone's counting on me. This time I was really struggling with how can I make this work? How would it be good for me to make this work? Am I forcing it? Will my higher self support this? Because if my higher self supports it, things usually fall in place. If I'm forcing it, things continue to be wonky, and then we sometimes have to force it, or we don't, right? Then we pull back and say, wait a minute, I'm forcing this. Maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be putting my energy towards. Maybe I'm supposed to say this isn't going to work this time. I contemplated, and I'm not joking, I was so stressed about this for a little bit, like a day and a half. I contemplated telling a white lie because I didn't want to tell the truth that I just really don't have the mental capacity or the emotional capacity. I needed time away. So I was telling one of my sisters about it, and we just both got hysterically laughing because she's a recovering pleaser too. Remember, our mind will take us to catastrophe or to the pain of the past in a nanosecond. And me telling her that, okay, this is what I was thinking, and we both laughed about it. It popped that bubble of catastrophe. I realized how silly and small this was. But look what happens when we are in that stuck place and wanting to change something about our life, but we are fighting with ourselves internally because our mind goes so fast. But when in actuality, having a kind and honest conversation with someone you love about what you can and cannot do, or that you made a mistake with your schedule and you're really sorry to disappoint, but this is one time where you're going to have to. That could actually help the relationship become more healthfully intimate, even when it feels scary as shit and requires pause. It requires pause, understanding of self, patience with self, and hopefully the other person will have understanding and patience. But when we rush in and tell a white lie or try to fix a situation or force a situation that is going to cause self-hardship, that is where we are turning away from ourselves. Causes us to really disconnect. We're turning away from self to make it easier on someone else, to avoid the conflict, to not hurt someone's feelings. And then we also feel less connected in our heart, less connected because we're disappointed with ourselves. And then we feel disconnected with them because we said yes when we really wanted to say no. And on some level, when we're not being in emotional intelligence, we blame them for it. We don't have to, because really that's an excuse. It wasn't them, it was us. But that's what we can do when we are not in our wisdom. Instead, we could give someone the chance, give ourselves the chance to be honest, to understand, to work through it, to work through the disappointment. Because when we don't, the more we cause ourselves to be disappointed in self, the more we run away from ourselves. We might just keep doing it and decide to wait until that person is gone, or wait until that situation is done. I'll just keep saying yes until I can't, you know, whatever it is. But it doesn't ever end, because on a soul level, remember, that is part of us. Our soul came to learn how to do this shift. For me, my soul, one of the reasons my soul came is to learn to be honest with self and others and not please when it is going to be harmful to me. We all have those soul lessons. It's part of our destiny. So they're important. And we can do that over time. It's not one and done. It's over time. Start earlier. It's much easier. Wait till you're older. Still do it. It just takes a little more time. And then we can reconnect with self. Otherwise, we're going to continue to turn away from ourselves. And now, of course, keeping in mind that the person you are being honest with and hoping you'll have understanding and patience, they might not be ready. It might not be as smooth as silk, but it gives you opportunity to work through something. Because over time, if you continue to practice that, it can become much easier. It can become easier because you're learning now a new way. And we can do it with kindness and gentleness, instead of rough and gruff and getting mad and defensive, because we're behaving in kindness. So we're showing someone else how to also behave in kindness, speak with patience. Let them be upset and understand why they are. That's okay. We don't need to fix that. We just get to create the safe container, like I've talked about in other episodes, because it's important to take care of our own being. It's important to walk the talk. We also can turn away from ourselves by being too hard on ourselves. A young person I know, recently we were talking, and that person said, I have to be hard on myself so I can accomplish what I want. Because if I'm nice to myself, I'm going to get too comfortable. Or if we're kind to ourselves, we'll get more energy, right? So it is important to think about, I can actually be kind to myself and accomplish things. I don't have to be mean to myself and talk down to myself. And we sometimes do that because of how we were raised or what we have come in with in this lifetime. You know, there's different reasons. Just pay attention to that. Notice how the harder we are on ourselves in unhealthy, unkind ways, the more our energy goes down too. We can also turn away from ourselves by becoming overprotective of ourselves. And we sometimes don't even realize that. That can be through the use of intelligence. Like if we're super intelligent and we'll use that and stay in that mindset, not keeping our heart open because we're in our head and everything needs to be practical and logical and make sense. And then we don't make room for people's emotions or even our own emotions. We turn away from our heart and how we feel. We keep vulnerability out. And we can use, again, our mind center, our intelligence, the thoughts as a way to keep people out. There is that old feeling, and hopefully that's been going away, but we were raised, many of us were raised in a generation that when you're a leader, you're strong, you stand tall, you don't show that vulnerability. But is that really the best way to lead? Is it important to also understand when we have wounds and it is time to clean them, we have to make time to clean them, instead of standing in our power and thinking strength comes from keeping out help, when really true strength comes from being honest and living in community, not being overprotective? We also can turn away from ourselves and then how that affects our relationships with others by thinking our stuff is less important or more important than other people's. A theme that comes up over and over again with many mothers is their kids' things are always before their own. So if I'm taking an hour to do this new project or take a class, but my child calls and says they forgot their homework, well, I'll drop my stuff and I'll run over to the school to get them their homework. And the more we do that, the more that hurts our self-esteem. Maybe that learning is they'll figure out not to forget their homework, you know, if it's once in a while or one time. But if we are doing that on a regular basis, making our stuff less important than other people's, we don't know what we're giving up. We don't know what our destiny is because we keep putting it on the back burner. And in that same theme is sometimes we use that as an excuse because we're a little too afraid to take the risks to shine our light. Because some people might think we're being grandiose, or some people might feel like we know more than they do, or we like to feel comfortable and in our own cocoon. And that's okay if that's your dream, but if it's really you're not your dream, check in. Is that fear-based? You know, when I started the podcast, I did have that fear of, are people going to think that I'm thinking I'm more than other people? No, I just feel this inner desire to share what I've learned over all these years that I've been alive. And some people will appreciate it and some won't, and that's okay. And there are so many more ways we turn away from ourselves. We expect everything to be fair and equal. And then we might get stuck in that wounded child energy of things are not fair. Things are not equal. This person did this to me. This person did that to me. And that's how we really can disempower ourselves when we forget how powerful we actually are. There are so many ways we disconnect from self. And there are so many ways we can reconnect with ourself. So many ways to become healthier, to know what we want, and then to gain the strength to take the risks, to get where we want to be, whatever that means. No, it's not always become a published author. Maybe it's, I just want to have honest conversations with people. Everybody's goals, everybody thwarts themselves in different ways. And so we really want to get to know who we are in order to start to identify what it is we want. What do we want to do different this year? We need to take time. We need pause. Pause, whether that is 1 hour a day or 5 minutes a day. When I get in my busy cycle and I've got a lot on my plate, it is sometimes easy to not pause. And when I don't give myself the pause time, I am so much more exhausted. So I've learned mostly, not 100% because I'm an imperfect human, to give myself pause time, even if that means it's going to be 5 extra moments in the morning or a half hour in the morning, whatever that is, just so I can breathe before I get on going with my day. Otherwise, it's hard to even identify what we want because we become that living on the treadmill, moving forward, moving forward, moving forward, doing all the things that we know we have to do to stay busy. And now we are so far away from our dreams. We have turned so far away from what we really want. That breathing and pausing. Write it down. Where am I hurting? Where do I feel stuck? Where do I feel frustrated? Where have I separated from my hopes and dreams? Because the longer we stay separated, sometimes the harder it is or the longer it takes to re-identify. Doesn't mean it's not worth it. It is worth it, but we have to maybe have a little more patience. It does take intention to want to see ourselves with honest sight. And remember, it can be painful sometimes to stop blaming other people and realize that I am much more empowered than I think I am. Separate the truth from the stories. Learn what that truth is. Am I as disempowered as I think I am? Mostly we're afraid because we have to change because we are way more empowered than we give ourselves credit for. And then we have to take the time to tend to those wounds that we've identified. Remember what I said a bit ago, we become overprotective of self and we might not even realize it. And that can be through, again, like I said, intelligence or pride, protect ourselves, keeping people out. But all that does is keep us away from tending to our wounds instead. And what does it mean to tend to our wounds? You know, humans have an innate ability to heal themselves. We have to believe it, first of all, and we have to have time to really be open to the possibility that we can heal with self-care. That's physical and emotional. It's why when we have an owie, our first inclination is to put our hand on it. A lot of healing goes on in our body, and emotional too. Putting our hands on our heart, or when we're feeling disempowered, we oftentimes put our hands on our third chakra, our belly, or when we're in a discussion and we might feel like we're a little antagonistic or that person is, what do? We cross our hands over our chest. It's our natural inclination to protect self. But let's take it a step further. We want to heal ourselves. We have that ability too, but we have to understand I'm open to healing my wounds. That means I'm going to give myself time, and I'm also going to give myself the nurturing. A beautiful, strong woman who's struggling with some pretty tough health issues recently said, "Progress is only as robust as our scar tissue." Progress is only as robust as our scar tissue. Think about that. Emotionally, what and where is our scar tissue? And how does that affect our thoughts and our choices throughout the day? We all have emotional scar tissue, and we all probably have physical scar tissue. We can let it just sit there and become stagnant, or we can really dive into it in kind and gentle ways. If you have scar tissue, massage it, put oils on it, do something. If you have emotional scar tissue, ask what you need. We can think we need someone to give us our power back, and maybe we do. That might mean we want an apology or we want someone to treat us differently. Yet really, we can do it without that person. We can pull the cord out of our chest because they've been holding our power and let our higher self guide us to give us what we need to feel whole again. Our body has that innate ability if we listen to it. Our higher self will always guide us if we listen to it. We want to be truly honest with self. Open the heart, not keep self-love out, not keep love out from others. You know, like I said about that young person feeling the need to be hard on self so I can accomplish what I want to. That's exhausting. That's not nurturing. You know, nurturing is not treating ourselves like babies. It's not. It's about being honest and kind. It's about taking a break when we need it. It's about asking, what is it that my body is needing right now? Maybe it's just 5 minutes alone. Maybe it's just time to put my head on my desk, or maybe it's time to think about my dreams. Maybe it's time to tend to the pain in my neck or my head. Maybe it's time to allow myself to move forward. Now, maybe it's time to allow ourselves to move forward while also mourning and grieving the past. We don't have to pull up our boots and put armor on and move forward without tending to the pain. We can do both. It's not one or the other. We live in duality. We're humans. It's helpful to be aware of that. It's helpful to say, I am feeling really afraid to be in this honest conversation with this person that I'm going to disappoint. And yet I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be aware of my feelings. I'm going to be aware that I might be exhausted after, and I might need to go sit and have a cup of tea or climb in bed or cry or breathe or call my sister, you know, whatever it is. That's nurturing, but that's not stuck. And that's not being a baby. We also can turn back to self by recognizing if we're living in unconditional or conditional terms. What does that mean? When it becomes conditional, we're happy because the sun is out. We're sad when it's not. We're happy because we have enough money to pay our bills. We're sad when we don't. That's really tiring, up and down and up and down and up and down. And it's really easy for us humans to do. We can become too critical of the circumstances we're in. Happy with good events, unhappy with anything else. And the more we're living that way, the more we are understanding or misunderstanding the use of our own power. Because thoughts, stress, words from others, comparing self to others, those can all be such conditional happiness. And conditional happiness really pulls the plug on how we can feel empowered, which is really important and in line with the next thing, which is how we are going to actually start to look at tough stuff differently. I was talking with one of my daughters about a difficulty she was experiencing, and I reminded her while also reminding myself, we can choose to look at a problem. We can choose to look at a problem, and we all have them because we're human. It's part of life. We can look at it from a place of overwhelm and feel defeated, and I'm not going to be able to get out of this, and I'm going to lay around all day, or okay, this is the problem. What can I do about it? And I brought this up before. We are always as strong as we think we are. And it is true. And on the flip side, we are always as weak as we think we are. I was watching a show recently, now that it's winter, called Silo. The woman in that show is so kick-ass, brave and strong. Good reminders of how much power we have. We don't have to live life like her. Her situation is intense and not really very real. However, it's a reminder of, wow, when we're brave and strong, when we choose to look at things as, how can I solve this problem, instead of, oh my God, this problem's going to take me down. Which leads us to the next, which is aligning our thoughts with our actions. This is a tough one for us as humans. When we align what we think with what we say, it is powerful, and it can be detrimental or it can be helpful. So being careful with our thoughts and our action, any moment of any day, it's really important. If you want something of goodness, we have to align the thoughts with the actions. We cannot say one thing while thinking another. We can, and we have, and we probably will again as humans. However, it doesn't work. Either the person that we're saying it to, like, can say, yeah, that dress looks nice on you. And she's like, well, I don't believe you because your body language is suggesting otherwise. And we don't move forward. Yeah, I really want to do that and I can do that. And now I'm going to start moving forward with it. And all of a sudden the thoughts creep in, right? And then we lose our power. It's so important to be in integrity and align our thoughts and our actions to where we want to be. And that takes a steady stream of mindfulness. It really does. It takes over and over and over again. Last year, I offered a suggestion that I heard from someone. Write a sentence down, something that you want, whatever that is, and let that be. Again, write it down and then pause and say it for 17 seconds. I do this with my meditation and with my breathing. And when I'm on my treadmill, I'll do it there too. 17 seconds. Very important, though, to say it with belief. You might notice it and you might feel strong, and then all of a sudden you dip. Get back, start again, rev it up, believe it, say it, and think it, and feel it. All those pieces. And then you take the action steps. But it's much harder to take the action steps when we're moving forward with something and our mind is saying, there's no way that's going to work. Really hard to have the energy. When we align what we think with what we say, things work out much smoother. They really do. And we have more strength. However, remember, it depends on what we're thinking. So we want to be very, very consciously aware of what we are thinking. And another way we can reconnect is to keep life as simple as possible. Drive less, make less trips to the store, make less trips to bring people what they need, unless it's an emergency. My dad, they lived in Florida, my mom and dad, now they both passed away, but my dad would do all of the stops on one side of the road. So when they were going down, they lived in Bonita Beach, and they were driving down the road, and there was something on the other side of the road they needed to do, he'd say, no, we'll do that when we get back. And my mom and I would laugh about that because he'd be really serious. We're not going to cross the road. We're going this direction. But when we come back, we'll tend to the right side of the road. Isn't that kind of smart? You know, really, I was laughing at it back then, but less hassle, less to do, less waiting to turn left. What if we did that symbolically? What if we tried instead to keep life as simple as possible? Do our job, appreciate the sunrise, be present, enjoying being present with those around us. Live with less. What gets in the way of that? Just be mindful. Appreciate things much more. Live more simply. How much love can I share? How many compliments can I speak? How many kind gestures can I offer myself and others? How many times can I pause and breathe? Those simple things make a huge, huge difference in our life. Now, every day we can choose to stay in that place of stuck or move out into a place of empowerment every day. Every day we can choose to blame someone else for our life and let them trigger us. Or we can go inside. We can breathe. We can pause. We can understand why I'm breathing this way or why does my shoulder hurt. We can be fascinated with our internal body. We can be fascinated with all of the places we have gone in this lifetime. We can be fascinated with all of the mistakes we have made and all of the successes we have had. We can look at things differently from a place of wonder instead of a place of shame or blame or less than. Get inside. Get to know self. Get to know what's causing the triggers. Get to know what trail of thought leads us down into a place that is dark. Get to know it. The more we do that, the more we are reconnecting with ourself. And it is a beautiful way to live. What can we change this year? What's one thing you're ready to change this year? How brave can you choose to be? Now, giving into fear is a waste of time. And bravery is not always being the leader. Bravery is not always kicking everybody's ass. Bravery is sometimes the hardest thing we need to do is to feel vulnerable and ask for help, to feel vulnerable and say, hey, I really could use your input on this, or I really don't want to disappoint you, but I think I'm going to. That is also being so brave, honest, kind, nurturing, knowing when we need assistance, asking for help, softening our heart, co-creating. And maybe that's your word for the year. Maybe your word is receive. Who knows? But when we tune in and say, where have I turned away from myself? We'll get that word of the year. I truly encourage us to write a word or make a vision board. Make a wish list. I'm creating a vision board, but it's like the second or third week of January because that's the timing I've laid out. Does not have to be the first day or the first week. We don't have to rush it. Maybe we can carve out time when we're more ready. Maybe you can look at your calendar over the next couple of weeks and say, okay, I don't have time this week, but I'm going to give myself the gift of time on Saturday or Sunday or next Tuesday. But we don't always have to wait until we're exhausted because that's not really nurturing time. And then if you choose a word of the year or that sentence that you're going to say seven times after you write it down, state it, put it somewhere, write it everywhere, tattoo it on your forehead, and then take it a step further by co-creating with your higher self and saying, this is what I would like in my life this year, or maybe something even better. I wish you a beautiful start to 2025. I hope you are kind, loving, gentle, and pushing yourself forward so you feel more empowered. Have a beautiful day. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms. And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.